is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Steven Henderson, and so happy you are a part of this episode as well. It wasn't long ago that Larry Nassar's revealed actions and Michigan State University's lack of actions were top of mind for many Michigan residents. Nassar infamously sexually assaulted scores of gymnasts and is now in prison, serving effectively a life sentence. But the reputation of Michigan State University, which engaged in a cover-up, has taken a beating. Several people, including former university presidents Lou Anna Simon and John Engler, lost their jobs for their handling of the Larry Nassar sexual assault scandal and its fallout. Well, now, another Michigan State University president is on the hot seat. The current president, Samuel Stanley Jr., has apparently lost the trust of at least some of the Board of Trustees, who are now trying to get Stanley to leave his post. To talk about why Stanley is being pushed out, what he did wrong, and how Michigan State is trying to recover its image and rebuild after the Nassar years, we have Detroit Free Press higher education reporter David Jesse here with us. David, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
There appeared to be several complaints on hand, but can you consolidate this for us? What are all the reasons that Samuel Stanley Jr. is on the hot seat?
Well, I think the overarching problem with the board is a lack of trust in him. And it kind of stems from two areas. One, from the decision by the provost, backed by Stanley, to push out the business school dean over complaints that he did not report some sort of sexual misconduct as mandated. He's a mandated reporter. And then also some issues about certifying reports to the state, basically that say the president and the board have looked at Title IX reports, the sexual misconduct investigations, and have reviewed them. That's a law that was put in place after the Larry Nassar scandal that you referenced to try to give some oversight. And there's some issue about whether Stanley certified that all these things had happened, knowing that they hadn't happened, or did he know, did he not know? And so it's just this mess. And I think overall, there's a lack of trust between some members of the board and the president. And when that happens, that puts the president on a hot seat.
Right. And you mentioned two separate things there. So I want to start, I guess, with the first. At the center of the current controversy, or what keeps coming up, is Sanjay Gupta, the business school's former dean. Who is Sanjay, and how specifically did Stanley handle that situation? Can you give us insight into what happened there, so for people who aren't familiar?
Sure. So he was the dean of the business school, and in August, suddenly, kind of out of the blue, he resigned, and no one knew what was going on, and it came out that he had been pushed out by the provost. Michigan State has some policies around who has to report to the Title IX office, to the sexual misconduct office, if they hear of some sort of issue, and he's one of those people. And allegedly he heard something and didn't pass it on. And so the provost pushed him out with the backing of Stanley. The board heard about this at some point, and they decided that there were some issues in that case's investigation. They hired an outside law firm now to come in and to investigate whether the president and the provost made the right decision, and if what all was going on there. There's still a lot of questions about exactly what happened there and the role of the president in all of this.
Yeah, and that brings me to the next point, because the second thing you mentioned, and if you could give us a little bit of an overview on that, is him apparently failing to provide reports as required by law to the Board of Trustees. What's his requirement there, and how are they saying he failed to do it?
So after the Nassar case, there was lots of complaints that the board didn't provide oversight and that they didn't know what was going on, and that was part of the cover-up of Nassar. Michigan State had complaints, had cleared him, had had multiple complaints against him, and the administration had kind of brushed him aside. And the thought was that a board at any university should see reports so that they could offer, hey, this is the second time we've seen this guy's name come up. Can you inform us what's going on here, et cetera, et cetera. Look at the timeliness of response. And so in the state budget, there's a section called the boilerplate with a lot of different requirements in it. And one of those is that every year the president certifies, sent to the state, a form that says, among other things, that they have provided reports of all the sexual misconduct cases to the board, and that particularly in the case of any involving an employee, that a board member has, at least one board member has reviewed all those reports. So Stanley signs, like every other university president in Michigan, and sent it into the state. Well, it turns out there's a question about whether board members actually did that review, and did Stanley know that it hadn't been done, that there hadn't been that review. There's no log or signatures or anything saying that the board had reviewed, so he didn't have any backup for his signature. So the question is that certification that he sent to the state false? Now, if you don't certify to the state that this had happened, you can lose 10% of your state aid. In Michigan State's case, that's about $28-29 million. What we don't know is, what if there was a false certification? Could the state come back and tell Michigan State, we're taking $30 million away from you? So that obviously is some real financial pressure on the university as well.
Yeah. So David, hearing those two situations, this is the thing I want to square at its most simplistic, right? They appear to be upset from the reporting with him pushing out someone ahead of a college for failing to report. And now apparently they're mad at him for failing to report. So they don't like that he pushed out somebody who failed to report, but also they want to push him out for failing to report. That seems to not square with me. Is there any distinction here that I'm missing with that? I mean, there are a lot of things going on there, but do you understand what I'm asking there?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. There's so much of the situation that we don't know. And really, you know, we haven't heard from very many board members, so, you know, we just don't know. But I think it gets back to, we started this discussion by saying kind of the fundamental issue here is that the board doesn't trust Stanley and his process. And so when that happens, that's a bad sign. It's a bad sign when my boss, right, doesn't trust me.
That's not good.
Right, it's time for me to start thinking about, well, maybe it's time to update the resume. And so it's the same with the board, and it's just magnified at a university when you're talking about a university president who's obviously a major public figure, gets $1 million a year in salary, and then, you know, you have a board that are politicians that are elected.
Yeah,
you know? And so all that is in this mix as well. And then you got to put in the context of, as you said in your introduction, they're coming out of the Larry Nassar stuff. And so stuff around reporting and did people report or not report, you know, that's a very sensitive issue there, yeah. Maybe more so than at other places.
Yeah. 313-577-1019 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. What do you make of the recent scandal unfolding at Michigan State University? Is it even a scandal? Is this much ado about nothing? Or are there significant issues here? Do you have opinion on that? Give us a call. 313-577-1019. I want to get back to you, though, David, because, you know, ever since Game of Thrones ended, I think I needed a little bit more palace intrigue in my life. This seems to be a lot of that, with you have a leak of, oh, he's on the hot seat, he's going to be pushed out, but then the reporting comes out, you have a member of the Board of Trustees actually saying, no, I don't know why people are trying to push him out with these leaks. It's really interesting. It's very fascinating. A lot of palace intrigue, but really, how much does this matter to the people of Michigan? I can hear residents saying, hey, look, he messed up. There's something in the legislation or law, you know, 10% fine if it's true. Let the investigation happen. Why is this such a big deal right now? Can you explain that for me, David?
Yeah, I think the big deal, if you're just an average taxpayer in Michigan, is you have to think about the place Michigan State holds in the state. You know, it's one of the largest schools. It's got a massive alumni base. It's, you know, we're talking about agricultural importance, you know, in lots of areas,
yeah.
Research, right? And so this is a major institution of the state. And when it's in turmoil, right? And so for the last 3 days, the faculty and the students and the staff have spent a lot of time trying to figure out who the boss is, what the direction is, and is the board in charge or is Stanley in charge? And are they rowing together? Are they fighting against each other? When you start getting that instability, now you start thinking, okay, is Michigan State functioning the way Michigan needs it to function? Not only for its students, but kind of all these other offshoots, you know, when it comes to their extension programs that are so vital to agriculture or their teaching college or, you know, name the, you know, the inventions coming out of the engineering school or, you know, all that stuff. And so the stability to these big places are very important in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of the Board of Trustees, you know, how many are there? What are their responsibilities? And do we know how many are for versus against the president right now?
Sure. There's 8 board members. They're all elected in a statewide vote. They're at the bottom of your ballot. There's two seats open this November. They're elected to 8-year terms. We know 2 board members, Diane Byram and Melanie Foster, have come out and said that they believe Stanley should stay. We have another board member, Rima Vassar, who's come out and said that she has a lack of trust in the president and has not felt that trust since she started on the board about a year and a half ago. And then you have this group in the middle that have been playing coy and haven't really said anything. So it's hard to know exactly where they stand.
Is there any consistency with the political makeup of those that are for his retainment?
No, Diane Byron's a Democrat. Melanie Foster's a Republican. It doesn't appear that it's any type of party issue.
Right. But if the Board of Trustees wants them out and they get a majority, they can get them out. Is that correct?
Sure. They can fire, right? According to his contract, they can fire him. If they fire him with cause, you know, he doesn't get paid anymore. If he retires, though, and this is the deal they offered him, hey, retire, and according to his contract, he gets a year's salary. So that's $960,000.
Yeah. And just to get some context again, is there any understanding of what the system or how the university has been working since his time in tenure versus what it was like before? Has there been a change, more stability, problems retained? What do we know about that change?
It appears that it's been more stable. It's certainly been a lot quieter. You know, he has come in and kind of stabilized the system. You know, he has not certainly had the issues, the public issues that his predecessors had. And so there was that perception that he had done a good job of kind of returning it to pre-Nassar stableness.
Yeah. We're speaking with David Jesse, a higher education reporter for the Detroit Free Press. You can get involved as well, 313-577-1019. But David, since you are a higher education reporter, Michigan State's not the only university going through some news recently in terms of higher education. We've also got the situation in Eastern Michigan University where professors went on strike. A lawsuit was filed saying they couldn't go on strike. And instead of a protracted labor dispute, it looks like they came to a resolution. Can you tell us what was at issue there and how that ended up resolving at Eastern Michigan?
Sure. The two main issues between Eastern's faculty and the administration really came down to money. There were issues around salary, how much the professor should be paid, what type of pay increase they should have. And then the really big issue was, like for many people, healthcare and healthcare costs, and how much should the faculty pay towards their healthcare, and how much should the administration, the university, pay towards that. And at the beginning, there was a wide gulf. Obviously, late Sunday night, I think they sent the press release out about 11:55 p.m. They managed to come to some sort of agreement, and we're still waiting to see what those details are and where that all shook out.
All right, very good. And in terms of the labor dispute, do we understand if there's going to be any, do we expect to see any long-term ramifications or fallout, not only just at Eastern University, Eastern Michigan University, but perhaps other institutions across the state?
Well, I think we've seen it at Eastern. We saw it a bit at Western Michigan. You know, a number of these schools are really struggling in terms of enrollment. You know, there's just there's a demographic issue here in Michigan. There's just fewer kids graduating from high school each year. And so there's a smaller pool of college students. And so as their enrollment shrinks, that means their schools aren't getting the tuition dollars into their bank accounts, which means they're making cuts, they're looking for savings. And that's just naturally going to kind of set the university off against, you know, faculty and faculty unions who don't want to see pay cuts and healthcare cuts. And so I would anticipate that some sort of dispute will be more common around the state in the next several years.
Right. We got about a minute left. In terms of the time that we have here, I'm going to be looking into what's going on with higher education. And so we're going to have you back on that because it's becoming an interesting issue. Thanks so much for your time, David Jesse.
Anytime.
This has been Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. The show is produced by Sam Corey and me. I help produce this. The technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. Tune in tomorrow when we discuss the Detroit Auto Show, coming back for live in-person events and how the automotive industry is changing in the city, state, and country when Stephen Henderson returns.